So we're talking about hospitality today. Now, you have just met Peter and Vanessa, who are going to be working with our toddlers and children and young people for the next 11 months. And for better or worse, Kath and I are going to be hosting Peter for the next few months. And our experience is so far so good. Peter's enjoying improving his English. Kath is enjoying finding answers to his questions, like why is it only bacon that we measure in rashers? I'm enjoying the Hungarian biscuits that his mum sent us. But we didn't feel quite so peaceful about it all when we were waiting for the arrival of this man we'd only ever spoken to once. What would it be like sharing our house with someone else? Would cooking for an extra person be too hard for me? Would he even like us? One of the things I'm going to be talking about today is how it can be scary to open up your home to offer hospitality. We all deal with our questions in different ways. Our feelings. And I've got my clicker. You wouldn't have thought I've done this twice in the last month, would you? So I wonder where you see yourself in this movie clip. If I can have it up, Maxine. Here we see Paddington Bear first meet the Browns, who end up as his hosts and eventually his family. Who do you identify most with? Is it Mr. Brown, who's very suspicious, probably actually quite frightened, and just wants to get home? Or do you see yourself as Mrs. Brown, not quite knowing what she's getting herself into, but wanting to help anyway? Or perhaps it's neither of them and you find yourself in Paddington's paws today in need of some hospitality yourself. If that's you, I pray you receive some. Hospitality is a huge topic, so this morning I just want to look at three different aspects. What it is, why it's so important to us as Christians, and what can get in the way of us practicing hospitality. So, what is hospitality? Hospitality comes from the Greek word philoxenia, which literally means the love of strangers. It's opening your home to other people, eating together, having people to stay. But unlike entertaining where we put on a show, hospitality is about laying yourself bare, opening arms and doors wide to friends and strangers. I love how the author Rosaria Butterfield puts it. When we practice hospitality, we live out our real, messy, and redeemed lives before stranger and brother alike, demonstrating to a watching world that the blood of Christ is thicker than the bond of shared last names or the blood of biology. We see a classic example of hospitality practiced in our passage for today. It's Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. Let me read it to you. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance to his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Here we see three strangers appear to Abraham, and he seizes the opportunity to be hospitable to them. He invites them in, looks after their needs, and gives them a good meal. He shows loving kindness, even bringing water to put their feet in. All these things that he does are aspects of Christian hospitality. So why is it important? Let us turn to the New Testament, where four different writers in four separate letters all write about practicing hospitality. Paul, writing to the Christians in Rome, says to practice hospitality, or in the Greek, literally to pursue hospitality. The writer to the Hebrews concludes his letter with this reminder: don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, because some people have entertained angels this way, much like Abraham. In his first letter, Peter writes to offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And John writes in his third letter that we should show hospitality to Christian workers so that we may work together for the truth. So with not one or two or even three, but four church leaders in the New Testament writing about the importance of hospitality, it's really something we can't ignore. Showing hospitality to others in the church is just the church doing what it's meant to do and being who we're meant to be. The church is the family of God. We're meant to live in each other's pockets. That's exactly what the early Christians did in Acts 2, selling all their possessions and living together in community. We're meant to live radically different and kinds of lives, selfless, outward-looking lives, compared to the selfish world in which we live. This kind of living doesn't leave anyone behind, but instead equal love and acceptance are shown to everyone. This kind of living is the antidote to the chronic loneliness that affects so many people in our society today. And it gives us the strength to live the lives that Jesus calls us to live, being his hands and his feet, when we would not have that strength on our own. And showing hospitality to those outside the church is a natural extension of the grace of God that's been shown to us. We've been invited into God's family and into his household. Jesus tells us that he's gone to prepare a room for us in his Father's house. And by offering hospitality to others, we invite them into our family and into our home. It gives us the chance to show God's love and grace in some of the most practical ways possible, as well as providing a space that we might tell others about this love and grace and how it's freely given to them in Jesus as well. So why is it so difficult? It sounds so simple, so why don't we practice hospitality more? Going back to our passage, when Abraham saw the visitors, what was the first thing he did? Did he check that there was enough food? Or that Sarah didn't mind him inviting them in, leading to an argument about how he hadn't cleaned up yet? Did he go into the tent and give it a quick sweep? No. He went straight outside and he invited them in. He wanted to make his guests welcome and he trusted his family would feel the same. You see, two big problems that we have with showing hospitality are pride and fear. Pride that worries about what our guests might think of our house or the food we give them. And fear that paralyzes us for one reason or another until the opportunity has passed. Remember Mr. Brown from Paddington? He was scared of what might become of his home if he let Paddington in. And that stopped him from offering hospitality. Although he does get insurance for damage against bears later on in the film. We can't let pride or fear stop us from offering hospitality to those around us. It's completely natural to want your guests to have a pleasant room to stay in and tasty food to eat. But the issue arises when not having those things prevents you from offering hospitality. That's when our pride or our fear has gotten the better of us. But you know the most common thing that God says to his people when he appears to them in the Bible? Do not be afraid. God doesn't want us to fear. With the help of his Spirit, we can overcome our fear and our sinful pride. So what if your neighbor gives your dusty skirting boards a sly sideways glance or thinks your hallway's a bit cluttered? As we seek to follow Jesus, we'll learn to hold material things more lightly and people more dearly, caring more about how we can serve them than about what we're serving them. Another issue which stops us from offering hospitality is a bit more nebulous, but I'm going to call it lack of oomph. American pastor John Piper puts it like this: the physical force of gravity pulls everything to the center of the earth. In order to break free from earth-centered life, thousands and thousands of pounds of energy have to push the space shuttle away from the center. There's also a psychological force of gravity that constantly pulls our thoughts and affections and physical actions inward towards the center of our own selves and our own homes. Therefore, the most natural thing in the world is to neglect hospitality. It's the path of least resistance. All we have to do is yield to the natural gravity of our self-centered lives, and the result will be a life so full of self that there is no room for hospitality. We will forget about it, and we will neglect it. So the Bible bluntly says, stop that. Build a launching pad, fill up your boosters, and blast out of your self-oriented routine. Stop neglecting hospitality. Practice hospitality. What I mean by lack of oomph is that we lack any kind of driving force to escape this pull of our natural self-centered gravity. I'm sure you know what it's like. You get so wrapped up in your own routine and the comings and goings of your own house that, for example, it's hard to pause when thinking of the meals for the week about who you could invite round, who would appreciate coming for tea. And then it's hard to actually remember to invite them on time. And there's the worry that they might even say no once you've gone through all the effort. For some of us, we've just got too busy thinking about ourselves, yielding to the natural gravity of our self-centered lives. But here again, Abraham gives us a fantastic example to follow. When the visitors turn up, Abraham isn't in his own tent doing his own thing, looking after his own affairs. And he's not fretting about things. Instead, he sits at the threshold of his tent, looking outward. Abraham has put himself in such a position that he is going to notice the needs of those who need hospitality today. I think this is where Mrs. Brown is in our clip. She has her eyes out. She paid attention to Paddington, and that's why she went back to him. This, more or less, is what we need to do. We need to be conscious, even strategic, in how we approach the issue of hospitality. If it doesn't come natural, we need to work on it because the Bible never said it was optional. What would help you be more conscious at practicing hospitality? Think about it. After the service today, maybe you could sit for a minute longer than usual, look around you and think, who could I invite round? Maybe they'll come today. Don't panic if they do. Or maybe you'll make a plan for another day. But I'd encourage you to do this and put it into action now before that oomph slips away again. Connect with an old friend or invite the neighbor who you talk to on the pavement into your home. You might even know of someone who especially needs company in the next few days. Maybe their spouse is away with work or their children have just gone back to university. Rather than sit at home and think, I hope they're okay, you could make sure they're okay by picking up the phone and making a plan. Something I really want to stress here is that you do not need to have a big house or be a good cook to offer hospitality. To be honest, deep down, that friend who's come round probably doesn't mind which room you sit in or if it's messy. And they might not even need the cup of tea they say they've come for. They just want to spend time with you, to feel part of your life and part of your family. When we visit my mum and stepdad, they love to cook for us. We had a Persian feast for our Easter dinner last year, and it makes us feel really welcome and loved. However, it would completely defeat the object if my mum preparing that kind of meal meant we never saw her. A special meal is a lovely treat, and I do love my food, as a lot of you will know. But I'd rather have beans on toast than her ever gets so stuck in the kitchen that we didn't see her all day. Do you understand what I'm getting at? It's the quality time that counts, because that's the root of hospitality. It's different to entertaining, because to be entertained isn't what people need. Instead, they need to be shown the selfless grace and love of God, which is just as apparent in a cup of tea and a digestive as it is an expensive glass of wine and a three-course meal. But how does this all tie to Jesus? I'm in church giving a Christian sermon, but I've not talked about Christ yet. Well, in Jesus, God has shown us the ultimate act of hospitality. Through the cross, he has accepted us fully and completely into his family and into his household. We were far away from him. We were waifs and strays, and he opened his arms wide and welcomed us in. This is what we've received from God through Jesus, and is only as an outflow of this selfless gift of grace from God that we are able to be equally selfless in opening our homes and our hearts to those who need them. Be they acquaintances or old friends, strangers or bears from darkest Peru. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the hospitality that you've shown us through Jesus. I thank you that we are part of your family and that we have a place in your house when we get to heaven. Lord, forgive us for neglecting your command to be hospitable to each other and to those outside the church. Spirit, break down the barriers of self-centeredness, of pride, of fear that stop us from opening our arms and our doors to those we meet who need it. I pray you would open our eyes today to people in need of hospitality, in need of love, of shelter, of service, and of companionship. Help us do this right, Lord. In Jesus' name.